have you be seated. It'll be a minute before I get into the scripture today. Let's go through a quick review here of, it doesn't matter what order necessarily you call these off in, but what's how many remembers the first one or one of the core values that we've gone over so far? Glorify God in everything you do, your job, your marriage, your personal life, your business, how you handle your money, your attitude. It should glorify God. Not that you have to talk about God every moment of the day, but you should be an ambassador of Him, and it should represent Him well. Who knows another one? Driven by eternity. Every decision that you make, your future. How many of you are planning for your retirement just a little bit? At some level, you're preparing for your future. So you have enough insight to understand. The sound people right now are freaking out, wondering if that's coming from here. So it's probably somebody going down Interstate 70 there. But we prepare for our future at some level. Now, some of us perhaps more than others, but you see that deferred privilege or pleasure, you have to prepare for the future. You have to prepare for retirement. You prepare by taking reasonable care of your body, that you kind of want this to be around for a while. So you're trying to take reasonable care. So in that same concept, we're also looking at a much longer future, which is eternity. So the choices that you make, the decisions that you make, you want to make sure that you do that knowing that you're preparing for eternity, and you want to make sure that you get that right. How many can remember another one? Exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. We understand this isn't just things that we do on our own, with our own character, with our own conduct, but we understand this is God's Spirit in us that gives us the desire to do right and to be able to do right and to give us the power to do right and to be like Him. And then what was the week before last? Anybody remember the last one that we covered? Pursue holiness. Again, this isn't something that we're holy or righteous within ourselves. However, we can be holy because He is holy. In fact, He commands us to be holy. And so in our behaviors, it should be a reflection that holiness that He has as we have a relationship with Him, and as He is with us and enters into us, His holiness should be evident and come out of us. So today is the fifth one. Again, these are not in level of importance or of any particular value other than they're just number five today that we're going to go through. And it is simply this: to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. So as you continue to be seated today, I know we've been standing for a while. Deuteronomy 6, we'll start at verse 4. I'll read out of the King James today. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and I will read through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Can we all lift our voices together today and pray and ask God to get this in our minds and in our hearts today? Let's pray together. Jesus, I pray today that as we go through this next phase, this next place, Lord, of a core value, Lord, that you help us to not only get this in our minds, but God, help us to hide this away in our hearts, Lord. Let our hearts be fertile ground today, Lord, to receive this, that it will be rooted and grounded in us daily, Lord, that it will be made manifest in us, Lord, that we would be pleasing to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, today, this core value will perhaps be the easiest one of all of them to preach, the easiest of all of them to teach. It will be the easiest to comprehend and understand. However, it will more than likely be the one that is the most difficult to live out. Because every part of your life will reveal your understanding and adherence to this scripture in core value. Every action, every conversation, every thought, every desire, every dollar spent, every bit of energy that is spent that you have will tell if we truly love Him with all, everybody say all, of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. So as I go back up and review this passage here in Deuteronomy 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, everybody say all, with all thine heart. Now we know that the heart is an involuntary muscle. It pumps blood to the rest of your body. It brings oxygen and blood and white and red blood cells to the body for healing for different purposes. But it's not really talking about the muscle, the heart. When the Bible's talking about your heart here, it's talking about your emotional side of your brain. It's talking about how you feel emotionally. And what this passage is saying is to love Him with all of your emotions. Now, the reason why I said that this would be, out of all the core values, this would be perhaps one of the easiest to comprehend and understand is because if I went to any church in the nation, or for any nation for that matter, any denomination wouldn't matter, and I were to say, how many of you love the Lord with all your heart? Everybody, for the most part, would raise their hands. But then we get into our life, and then we get into where we live, and then we get into our sports, and then we get into our hobbies, and then we get into our finance, and then we get into our relationships with people, and we get into things, and we would begin to discover that perhaps the evidence would show otherwise. If I were to take a survey of our children, and you take a survey of my children, and you were to ask them this question, what's mommy and daddy love with their whole heart? It would be interesting to see what would come out. What would come out would more than likely be not far from the truth. It might be the Buckeyes. That would be an indication of how much your kids feel you love that college or that team. Might be their car, might be their boat, might be any number of things. Might be their job, might be their money. But your kids would have a pretty good indication of where your emotions are. If we really love Him with all of our heart, then we really should love the things that He loves. Be upset when the Lord is upset. Disdain or not love the things that the Lord doesn't love. If something grieves the Lord, it should grieve us if we love Him with all of our heart. Certainly I feel that way for my wife. If there's something that bothers her, I'm bothered. If there's something she's concerned about, I'm concerned. If there's something that she loves, then I want to love that along with her. And so because of my attachment to her, I'm attached to those things that she's attached to. A number of years ago in this church, this was never more clear than an individual that on a pretty consistent basis, I never saw them very emotional. And so I just surrendered myself to the fact that it's okay if during worship, they don't worship very much. I don't see them get excited about anything. I don't see them getting upset about anything. And so as long as they're consistent with that, it didn't bother me as much that they didn't worship like everybody else worshiped. And then it happened. We were at somebody's house, and they had a bunch of guys over for the Ohio State-Michigan game. Some of you are running ahead right now, knowing where I'm going with this already. It was going along, and there was a bad call. The person that in church and any other environment I've seen them in have been fairly flatlined. They're just stable. They're not very excited. They're just, it's just their personality. Or is it? Or is it that I had not yet found where their heart was? But we're about to. Because there was a certain play and the refs missed the call or made a bad call. This person leaped out of their seat, ran over to the top of the TV set, and started banging on the top of the TV. Are you blind? Talking to the ref through the TV. A guest that had been coming to our church for just a couple of weeks, he and I were over making sandwiches, getting our snack together for the game. And he looked at me. I know what I was thinking, but he looked at me and said, he's really into this, isn't he? And I said, apparently so. All he discerned was he really likes football. What my assessment was is, does he like football more than he likes Jesus? You see, you don't, in your worship, you don't have to try to worship him. It's just going to come out if you really love him. I don't have to get on you. I don't have to have a seminar. I don't have to try to teach us how to worship effectively. I just know that once we fall in love with him enough and once we love him with our own heart, you don't have to tell anybody how to worship the Lord at that point. You don't have to tell anybody, here's how you should act when you have a brand new baby. Here's how you should act when you have a grandbaby. Here's how you should act if you win a contest and you're given keys to a new car. Here's how you should act when you do certain things. If you really love something, just the emotion comes out. Here's how you act when your loved one has been overseas and they've been in a combat situation. When they get off the plane, here's what you should do. You don't have to do that. Why? Because that emotion just begins to run out of them. But you see, I had already started kind of going through this lesson years previous to this because it wasn't too far before this. Maybe 6 or 8 years before this, I'm at a high school football game not far from here at Briggs. My buddy caught a touchdown pass that allowed us to beat West. Sorry, Shannon. In the last seconds of the game, game-winning touchdown pass with time expiring, my buddy caught the pass, and we went nuts in the stands. We just exploded. And it was in that moment, the same way that I was looking up from the table at this guy beating on the TV set, I kind of went back in time because as I remember seeing this guy, I remember the Lord was looking at me about the same way. I just remember yelling and screaming at this football game, yeah, yeah, woo, and high-fiving and all this was going on. And I remember the Lord showing up in my heart in that moment. And it was much like I looked at this guy and thought, boy, he's really into this. As he said that, and I'm thinking, yeah, apparently more than Jesus. I went back in time and realized that the Lord had a similar encounter with me at a Briggs West football game, realizing that in that moment, God showed up and looked at me the same way like, oh, you really do like this. Oh, so you really can do this when you worship. Oh, when you get excited, you really can do that. Oh, when you really love something, you really are capable of this. What things upset you? What things do you enjoy? Again, this is very easy to understand. We could just say, how many of you do all these things? We would all raise our hands. But do we really? The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. Do we get excited when somebody comes to an altar and somebody comes up and just gets just says, I want to change my life. I want to give my heart to God. Do we just go home ecstatic? Do we just go home and say, wow, that was awesome. That was incredible. Thank God that somebody has turned their lives around. Understand this. The salvation process is going to come. Understand this. Discipleship is going to come. They're going to grow. They're going to get in that lane. But at this point in their life, they're going this direction in their life. At that moment of repentance where somebody wants to turn their life around, they are making a total turnaround. What happens from there may take a little bit of time. Don't get discouraged and upset if somebody doesn't receive the Holy Ghost the first time they repent. I know our culture, we want to pray somebody through, and we should help somebody and pray for them that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many of you still believe that's a part of the salvation doctrine? So of course we want to do that. But can I just challenge us for a minute and say that we should also rejoice when somebody comes to an altar and somebody goes and prays with them and they repent of their sins and they start their journey with God, even if they don't receive the Holy Ghost in that exact second, should we still be excited about that and still be thanking God that they have turned their heart towards Christ? When we love Him with our whole heart, and if all of heaven rejoices over one sinner repenting of their sin, then we should rejoice. We should also grieve if somebody doesn't. We should also be concerned if we've gone a season without seeing baptisms, if we've seen people haven't received the Holy Ghost. There should be some of that, that if we love Him with our whole heart, that we feel that. Agreed? But you see, a lot of us say that we love the Lord with our whole heart, but there might be a moment that would tell us otherwise. Perhaps our children would tell us otherwise. Perhaps if you ask the children, what does your mommy and daddy love more than anything? They might say several things. We might need to keep asking them until they got down to number 6, number 7, number 8. And then they said, well, they love Jesus too. But I promise you, your kids are going to know what you really love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy emotions, with all thy soul. Had a meeting here a while back with some individuals that, thank God for them, they investigate certain things and crimes that we wouldn't even want to know that exist, but these people have to actually watch things and be witnesses to it and be a part of the process of making sure those people get locked up and protect innocent people. And so I had a meeting. In that meeting, they said, Pastor Pelham, is there anything you'd like to say? And I knew that was my moment, and I don't ever want to abuse any position I have or anything, but I sat there and I had a few scriptures lined out and I had a few things I wanted to say, and I said, God, if you want me to say anything in this meeting, then have them invite me to say something. It's hosted here. I was hosting it here at the church. I opened it up for an agency to have it here at the church, and so I was here, but I didn't want to assume just because I'm helping facilitate it that I really had a place, so I was really saying, God, you open the door. If you open the door, I'll step into it. So one of the people in charge said, Pastor Pelham, is there anything you'd like to say? I said, yes. I thank them on behalf of this church and behalf of my family, my personal family, for what they do, for what they have to see, for what they have to go through, that we could be safe. I challenge them that I know you got to see a lot and you got to look at a lot, but please remember that as you look at those things, that it's going to cause you to want to drive past playgrounds and different places and see how many of those kids are being abused and how many of those things are happening because you're in that environment so much. But please understand this. I want you to start driving by and saying, because of what I do, that child may never have to go through this and can retain their innocence. Because of what you do, you lock up one person, you may save 100 children from going through this. I said, but let me help you to understand something, because I am a pastor. I said, there is music playing in this room right now that we can't hear. It's in here, but we can't hear it. There's TV images in this room right now that you can't see, but they're in here. How do I know? We can't hear it. Prove it. Well, all I'd have to do is get out a radio and turn it on and begin to turn a knob and hit the right frequency, and I would pull down talk radio. And then I would turn the dial a little bit more, and it would be jazz. Turn a little bit more, it would be rock. Turn a little bit more, it'd be easy listening or elevator music. I could go through this dial, and what am I doing? Music that is in this room, I'm just tuning in to the right frequency, and it's there. It was here all the time. I'm not summoning it from the tower. It's in this room already. I'm just finding it. So I told this group that, please understand that the amount of evil that you're dealing with is not always natural. So what I want you to know is that there is a very real spirit world out there, because some of this stuff you end up saying, how could somebody be so twisted? How could somebody be so evil? How could somebody do this? Understand this. They have touched on a frequency that is not of this world. There is a God, and if you've settled that there's a God, then you've settled that there's angels. If you've settled that there's angels, then you've got to settle that there's fallen angels, and one of them is Lucifer or the devil. So please understand this, some of this battle, and there was great resources available to these people that are involved in this, and they went through a lot of great resources, and I said, look, I'm offering you today one spoke of about 30 spokes of help. If this whole thing that we're talking about today is a tire, I'm offering you one spoke to that wheel. And that is simply this. There is a real spirit world going on. If you ever need any help or want to talk any further and feel like you need to have some help in that spoke, in that area, please reach out to me. I'm here for you. Because there is a very real devil, a very real spirit world going on that's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy marriages, friendships, relationships, jobs, your money, your career, your relationships, your walk with God, your eternity. Kill, steal, and destroy. But you see, there is no... I could tell you that years ago they didn't know what germs were because they couldn't see them until the microscope. Now they can see them. Now they know what's going on. Infection, stuff, surgeries, all these things, because now we can see what's going on. I don't understand that what happens with microwaves. All I know is you put something in the microwave and push the button and it comes out hot. I also know if you put something metal in there, sparks start flying off of it. Don't ask me how I know. I don't know what's going on in there. All I know is there's something happening in there. I know that there's Geiger counters that measure the amount of nuclear activity in a certain area. That they have instruments to measure that. You can't feel it. You can't sense it. But all of a sudden, it can affect your body. It can do things to your body. And so there's these things that are out there that are invisible. But now we have some technology to be able to find that stuff. There is no telescope to see heaven. There is no device to measure how much God we can feel in a room. We, in fact, are the only instrument to discern what's going on in the spirit world. And so just like you can't turn on a radio and just listen to whatever you want, you have to dial it in. You have to be specific. And if you go past it, you have to go back until it's just right, and then it's clear. If you want to know what's going on in the spirit world, you have to be very intentional about it. And you got to be turned on to the spirit. You got to know what's going on. And you got to dial in. You can't just listen to anything you want, talk to anybody you want, do anything you want, and think you're going to hear God. In fact, people that just live any way they want and then say they've heard from God, I question it. I don't think you're dialed in. You give me a word from the Lord and your life's a wreck and everything you say is kind of weird and you don't have any biblical understanding or any sound doctrine. I question when you give me a word from the Lord. And I will tell you this, I will take that and I'll stick it in my pocket. And then I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to sift it through Scripture, and I'm going to discern whether I receive this or not. And there's many times I receive it, but there's many times I just take that and say, they're out. That's wrong. That doesn't make it through Scripture. That doesn't make it through spiritual authority. That doesn't make it through certain channels because I'm dialed in. And so we have to understand that when we love Him with our whole soul, that there is this spirit man that is in me that's craving Him. A number of years ago, I worked with a friend of mine at Ameritech, and not long after, we went separate ways. I left my job, went to Bible school, but we still stayed in touch. And so when I came back, he was really seeking the Lord, and so I was helping him with this journey. And so somewhere in this process, understand this, my buddy was a bodybuilder, and he got into MMA fighting, mixed martial arts, started studying Muay Thai, and started going into the ring and competing. And it was very fit and a great fighter and just a student of the trade, so he was really good. So here's what I told him one time. I said, we were talking about the spirit world, and I said, Doug, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I hate to break this to you, but I could beat your brains in. Well, that's the same thing he did, consequently, Debbie. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for all your faith and belief in me that I could have. He laughed out loud. I said, no, I'll beat your brains in. I guarantee I'd embarrass you in front of all your family and friends. I will beat your ever-living brains in. Trust me. All I'd have to do is starve you for about 30 days. I don't care how trained you are, don't care how good you look, don't care how powerful you think you are. All I have to do is starve you for 30 days, give you just enough food to keep you alive, and give you enough water to keep you alive, and I will beat your brains in. And I would have if he starved. You see, some of us are trying to fight the enemy, but you're spiritually starved. The seven sons of Sceva, what were they? They were the sons of a high priest. Hey, we know how to do this. We go to church. Our father's a priest. Well, we know how to do this. We've watched Paul do this. Here's how he does it. He goes like this. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever they have watched Paul do a number of times, they probably thought, we got this. I've watched Paul enough times. What do the devils say? What do the devils say to those guys that were trying to cast the devils out? They said, Jesus we know, and we know Paul. Now, who are you? Look at your neighbor and say, who are you? What they were saying is, we've never seen you in this arena before. You see, we're spirits, but you live in such a carnal atmosphere, we've never seen you out here before. And what they tried to do is they tried to use what they'd learned in the natural, what they've observed, but they didn't realize there was a real spiritual battle going on. They tried to do their little hocus pocus thing and try to cast those devils out, and those devils shredded them. Why? They weren't prepared. Just like I told my buddy Doug, I said, I'll beat your brains in. Why? Because if I can starve you out, I can beat your brains in. Those devils ripped the clothes off of those guys and sent them screaming outside of the city. Why? Because they might have been to church a lot. They might have been in the synagogue, the temple a lot. They might have been different places. They might have watched Paul and said, all right, I got this. Watch this. I know how Paul does it. Here's how he does it. But they weren't living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit like Paul walked in the Spirit, like Jesus was in the Spirit. And so we have to, when we love him with all of our soul, it is that inner spiritual man that is in us that we're not just doing what's good on the outside, that we allow that inner man that craves the presence of God to be alive. Why is it that a church can have a banquet or a party and we got more members than we even knew we had? You put on a chicken dinner, you put on some banquet or something, you got people that you haven't seen in years that, yeah, I'm a member. And you want to feed the flesh, and people you haven't seen in years find out about it. But then you have a service where you're going to feed the spirit, man. We have a prayer meeting. Something where we're gonna feed the inner man. We're going to feed the spiritual man. We're going to feed that spiritual entity that's saying, I need some of God. I need to tap in. I need my frequency dialed into the Spirit. I know you feed your flesh pretty well. That's obvious. You're taking pretty care of yourself. Any craving you have, anytime you want dessert, anything you want to drink, you take really good care of yourself. But I'm here dying. Feed me. And this spiritual man that's wanting to get in the presence of God and be nourished and fed so it can fight these spiritual battles, we leave him malnourished. No wonder the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth after the spirit and the spirit after the flesh. Because they are contrary one to another. And so we have a tendency because this flesh is right here and I know when I'm hungry, But this spirit man is crying out. Many times we have these spiritual cravings, but we just think we need another vacation. No, you need to get in the presence of God. Now, you still may need a vacation. I'm not against vacations. I'm not against hobbies. I'm not against having a good dinner or having a nice dessert. I'm not against that. But understand this. There's many times our inner man is crying out to God. We've got to answer that. We got a lot of people that are dealing with depression, but it's really not depression. It's intercession that's crying out. We're in a world right now that's, well, this world's crazy. It's not crazy. It's godless. What's crazy? How rampant anxiety is right now. Everybody say fear. Anxiety is a good medical word that we use. For fear. Well, what are you afraid of? What are you anxious about? What do you have anxiety about? I don't know. I'm just nervous. I'm just uptight. I just don't know what's going on. But what are you afraid of? I can't identify it. Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace, love, and of a sound mind. But you see, we're talking about a spiritual world here. But how is that made manifest? Why is that happening? Well, every movie that comes out seems to have some knife and a bloody knife, and it's a horror movie, and you can't even have Christmas time happen without some Christmas horror movie. They don't even do those just around Halloween anymore. Now it's what's the next Christmas horror movie coming out? All these TV shows about murder and all these things that are happening that you see in all these images, and we can't wait for the next Halloween time for the next scary house and spooky house to come out, and our kids are going to it, our people are going to it, our adults are going to it, and then we wonder why we have anxiety. Heard recently a guy say this: a lot of these songs that are out right now, a lot of these singers right now, that it's really cool, seems like, for some reason, it's really cool to be a dark singer right now. When I mean dark, what I mean is you have these images of snakes, goats, horns, rams, horns, all this satanic stuff. It's really cool and funny, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's a gateway. Oh, Pastor, you're being extreme. No, I'm just trying to help us understand there's a real spirit world. And when you play with things like that, you're going to tap into some things that you don't know what you're messing with. How many kids back in my day messed with Ouija boards and light as a feather and these other little funny, spooky games they played, and they end up tapping into something and freaked them out? Why? Because you thought it was just cute, you thought it was funny, but then something happened, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, well, you asked for it, but you thought it was a game. So here's what I heard recently. A guy was on a podcast, and he said this. He said, right now, and he mentioned a few of them, and I won't even mention it, but he mentioned some of these artists right now that are singing these songs. He said, you know what these lyrics are? These lyrics are chants summoning the spirit world, which means when you sing along, you don't even realize it, but you're inviting these spirits into you. Have I gotten weird enough for you yet? If God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm trying to give us some real understanding of what we're dealing with here. We didn't come to church today just to sing a few songs and have a nice little lesson. I'm trying to equip us for eternity. I'm trying to help us to understand you're in a real battle, and you're not going to fight that in the flesh. You're not going to sing a few songs and go home fixed. We better know how to fight in the spirit. We better know how to get things done in the spirit. And we better know what enemy is coming against us and how he's operating. We've got to know our enemy. And you play with that music and you play with that stuff and think it's a neat beat and it's all this and it's just show, it's just this. Yeah, okay, well, do this for me. Watch what happens to these stars in their life. Watch how dark and how horrible their lives typically take a turn when the enemy's done with them. I'm not mentioning names. You figure it out yourself. Watch what happens when these that are global, they're just, man, these people, how can they be so global? Maybe their music isn't that great. How can they be like one of the leaders in the whole world, but now they're going dark? Watch how when they go dark, they're still popular for a season. And watch, time after time after time, they don't keep that popularity long. It starts to end now to their destruction, only for them to segue into the next new great person that will make that journey and end up getting to that dark place. And I could name their names and you would all know them and just go, wow, I never thought about that, over and over and over. And we'll just watch them just go down this road of destruction once they do this cool stuff at their concerts or at the Grammys or wherever they do it. It's a spiritual world. You've got to love him with all of that spirit, man. And you can't be playing around with both sides of that. Hot or cold. No man can serve two masters. You can't just go through the motions. And with all thy might, this is your personal strength and your energy. This is your time. This is your effort. This is your energy. Might be your resources, your money, your gifts, your talents. It could be anything. But it represents what you personally are and what you spend. I've been serving God a long time. I haven't been great at this. I remember one particular time, though, was doing outreach here at the church and was looking for individuals to help with outreach, kingdom stuff, you know, saving souls, kind of what we're supposed to be doing here. Ask an individual. He said, no, sorry, I can't make it. He was a great person, great personality, great. I knew he'd be really great at touching lives and talking to people, really friendly, personable person. So I said, hey, can you, are you able to show up on Saturday? He said, no. I can't. I said, well, why not? He said, well, it's softball season. I said, well, what night would you be available? He said, none this week. I'm in three leagues. Yeah, I guess you are pretty tied up. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of personal self that could have been spent for something eternal. Man, I'm too busy to teach a Bible study. Well, you're too busy to get with somebody once a week, once every couple of weeks, once in a while. You're too busy to do that. But when this particular season, could be softball, could be golf. Is there anything wrong with softball? Is there anything wrong with golf? Anything wrong with the hobby? No. You just have to really make sure that you're still giving all to the Lord. Does it mean you can't do those things? No. It just means that you should have a priority on those things. Your personal strength, your energy. We want a great church. It's going to require that great people say, where's my place, Pastor? Where can I be involved? Where can I plug in? Where can I do my part? I'm part of the body here. I want to serve. I want to do something. I want to do something here. I want to be a part of this. Where's my place? I want to be connected. I want to give up my strength. I don't want to just show up. Anybody, we were at a restaurant here a while back, and they were talking about somebody that dined and dashed. You know what that is? That's where you show up and you eat and then you just leave. And you don't contribute anything for what you just enjoyed. And so this is not a church for dine and dashers. This is a church that we mobilize, and everybody's got a place, and everybody's got a value, and everybody has a place to belong. And whatever gifts, talents, things that you have, that we want you to be able to give to the kingdom and give to the church, and we want to put you in a position to be able to serve and do those things, because we want to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Goes on to say, in these words which I command thee. Everybody say command. This is interesting because it wasn't until I started working on this lesson. I've gone through this scripture. You've heard me talk about this passage a lot, and even the one subsequently in the New Testament. But what really convicted me this time as I'm looking at this is this word command, because we call this the Great Commandment. I'm pretty sure if I gave my kid, which they're older, they're adults now, so I don't have quite the clout I used to have. They're grown-ups. I have a little bit of influence, though. But I would hate to think that I would give one of my kids a command and they would just think it was a suggestion. I need you to get that out of the mailbox. It's very important. So make sure when you come home that you check the mailbox and get that out of it. Come home, it's gone, but it's not in the house. Ask one of my kids, well, did you check the mailbox? Yeah, I remember you said that, but I didn't think it was that important. No, you may not have thought it was very important because I didn't tell you what it was. And I knew it was a command, but they received it as a good idea, a suggestion. When I was going through this here recently, I felt like the Lord was really wanting me to understand how much that is considered a command, that we love Him with all. And that we don't just look at this as just a good principle. It's a good idea. It's a great suggestion. That this is commonly referred to as the Great Commandment. Which I command thee this day to be in thy heart, this whole thing. And then it goes on to say what parents should be, and as the musicians begin to come. Here's how they did this. You know why the Jewish religion is such a strong religion? Because they teach it in their homes. It becomes a part of their culture. It's what they do. Now, they will still go to the synagogue, but a lot of the teaching happens in the home. And so this verse 7, it goes on to say, and thou shalt teach them diligently what these principles, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and strength. Teach these diligently unto your children. Thank God for our children's ministry here. Thank God for the youth ministry here. But that is just a support group. The principles should be taught in your home by you.
How?
With instruction and example. Instruction, example. Where you are intentionally teaching these principles to your children. They should see these things living out in your life. This should not be a shocker to your kids. If you were to sit down with your kids tonight and say, you know, Pastor taught us today, you might have been back in children's ministry or whatever, but Pastor taught us to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. If my kids or your kids said, yeah, we need to start that, it'd be a good indication that maybe we haven't really. Maybe we haven't really shown that with how we spend our money. Maybe we haven't really done that with how we spend our time. You know, on the way here today, we were coming from the Circleville campus today and driving up here. Logan, how many diamonds were full? All of them? You know, Berliner Park is the largest softball complex in America. Packed full today when we drove by. Now, I know that some of them were Christians. But I wonder, in light of the scripture that I taught there today and what I'm teaching here today, how many parents said, oh man, sorry, we're going to miss that tournament. We have church today. I tell you what, coach, as soon as church is done, we'll be there. Or coach, we'll play up until church time, go to church, but we'll be back if we make it to the next game. If you want our kids to play, then they can play, but if you want them to sit because they missed a game, well, then that'll just be what we'll do. But we're going to be at church today. Am I criticizing those people? No, I'm just saying for me and my house, we wouldn't have done that. Because I think it would be hard for me to teach my kids, we're going to love God with all of our heart. Of our souls and with our strength. See, I told you today that it would be an easy lesson to understand, comprehend, but one of the hardest to live. But your kids gifted and talented, they would have been a starter, but now the coach is going to make them ride the bench because they didn't make it to the game. Do what you want, but for me and mine, okay, that's a very small price to pay. For my kids to know that we're going to love him with all. And there ain't a trophy, there's not a scholarship, there's not a thing that's going to keep my kids from the presence of God, because if I build that in them, if I plant the seed that I'm going to serve him, we're going to serve him with all. And we're going to do this because we understand it's pleasing to God and it's a commandment that if he's asking us this, and by the way, it's not just the Old Testament. It's in 3 of the 4 Gospels as well that I will get to next week because I'm not going to be done today. But hopefully out of that my kids have missed a few tournaments, or they've missed a few things, and there's been a few things they didn't get to go to. But my kids are in church today. My kids are loving God. My kids are involved in ministry. That didn't happen because I'm lucky. It doesn't happen because we're just blessed. Your pastor, you got blessed kids. God's really blessed your family. He has, and I'm thankful for that. But some of that has been intentional. Some of that has been from seeds that we have planted and made a decision that there's going to be some things that we're going to be intentional about, that in their upbringing, in their training, we're going to teach them in our house. And also see the example that there are going to be some tough decisions that we have to say God is coming first. So teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them, what? Those principles when thou sittest in thine house. Don't just have a once a week Bible study and check the box. Okay, we had family devotion. If you have family devotion, that's fine. But it should be just an ongoing lifestyle in your life. Over the dinner table, when there's a challenge at school, when there's a challenge at work, that you can bring some of these principles. Well, Dad, I got a chance for this. I got a chance for that. Well, is that a blessing from God, or will this take you away from God? Do you think that this will show that you're loving Him with your whole heart, mind, and strength? Yes, I do. Okay, then great. Sounds like it's a God thing. But if not, then process that. And when thou walkest by the way, this indication here is more when you're out and about. It's been a while because I don't pay with cash anymore. But there have been times that my kids have seen me drive around the drive-thru just to get back in line again because somebody gave me too much change back. Some people would say, thank you, Jesus. Didn't the Lord bless us today? Doesn't matter if it's a quarter or 20 bucks. It didn't belong to me. Now, some of you would have sure went around the block if they shorted you a quarter. But if they gave you too much back, thank you, Jesus. You see, they have to see you live it out in the way. They have to hear me on phone calls handling something. And say, do I really believe these scriptures in light of how I handled this situation? How I handled this work situation? How I handled this business situation? When I was wrong, when I was done right, when something happened, if I'm dealing with a situation, how do my kids hear me do this? When I'm discussing this out in the way, do they see that it's not just something we do at church, but it's who we are? Walk us by the way. When thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. Pretty much what that's referring to is all through the day. It should be always. Clear up until the time you fall asleep at night, till you wake up in the morning. There should be something there that you're seeing an opportunity to love Him with all your heart, with all your emotions, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Can we stand to our feet today? I told you it'd be an easy lesson. Consequently, the easiest lesson I'll teach you will take me 2 weeks to get through it. Why? Because it's so difficult to live it. Because we would so easily say, things begin to tell on us. You're not alone. I wrestle with this too, just so you know. I'm not exempt from this just because I'm a pastor. I still have to assess myself, challenge myself, hear the voice of the Lord as He looks and watches and sees some of these things that I say that I believe, but then maybe what I'm doing is at times a little contrary to what I say I believe. I'm opening up this altar to do this.